Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
And this is Bob Siegel. Well, Putin has invaded Ukraine, even though he calls it a liberation. Little fact of history, little trivia, when Hitler invaded Poland, that was a liberation too. Undoubtedly, this will embolden China and North Korea and Iran, and not just the big boys, any other two-bit despot who watches that spineless incompetent on Pennsylvania Avenue. But all is not lost. Be of good cheer. God is still on his throne, and Jim Barrier is still on his phone. Jim, welcome to our program.
That was a great intro. And we had talked about some other topics for tonight, but I think we really have to address the situation in the Ukraine. And it's not only a tragic thing, but it's very disturbing to me that this is taking place. I have friends in that part of the world, and they're quite concerned.
And I didn't realize that. Where exactly are your friends?
I have friends that are missionaries in Lithuania, and then missionaries, and then other missionaries that we have supported over the years in Estonia, and they are part of United World Missions who have schools in the Ukraine. And in fact, we just sent some support, a little emergency support, just to help them. Anything that they can get to help people that have been affected or endangered, or to help their schools or students. So I would encourage people to do the same. The organization that we are supporting is United World Missions. And I know that Franklin Graham also is doing what he can. Any of your missions organizations that you might be familiar with or already support, check with them and see if they have any outlet to bring support to the missions and ministries and Christians in the Ukraine and in Russia. There are Christians in Russia, believe it or not. Of course, their president, I think it's hilarious that we call him a president, but he claims to be a Christian. You know, he wears a cross around his neck, and so certainly...
Oh, well, that would cut it, then, wouldn't it?
Well, he was born, you know, into the Orthodox Church, and so, I guess any port in a storm. It's not the first time that there have been despots who claimed religion or faith. In our own country, every president has had some claim to faith that to belong to some religious organization. All of them
Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi both claimed to be devout Catholics.
Devout Catholics, yes. This kind of diminishes the term devout for me, personally.
You think?
And I'm quite concerned about the people in that area. And I would first and foremost tonight to our audience, I encourage you to pray. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Pray for believers in that part of the world. Pray for divine intervention. It has happened before, and it's not unprecedented that prayers have swayed wars and battles. World War II, there was a lot of prayer that was strategic and effective, the outcome of that horrific war. So pray for divine intervention. I really believe in that. Pray for the leaders of the free world, whatever is left of it. Even, we've talked about this before, I have to pray for my president. I would pray kind of like Paul. I pray that the eyes of his understanding would be opened.
That would be a bigger miracle than the parting of the Red Sea, but I suppose anything's possible.
It could happen. Saul of Tarsus was converted, so miracles happen. But we need to pray, seriously, we need to pray for the leaders, pray for our leaders. Biden is not the only one that makes decisions. There are other people of influence.
Not the only one that makes decisions. I don't think he's even among the ones making decisions. I don't think he's deciding anything.
Yeah. Well, that's possible. Well, he did. Listen, he did take a stand. No, wait a minute. He didn't. he decided to waive sanctions on the Russian pipeline. Why? Well, because it's almost completely finished. come on, Joe. You at least can make a statement and say, okay, we're gonna have sanctions on the Russian pipeline, whether it's almost finished or not, because we want to make a statement that we do not condone this horrific liberation. It's an invasion, folks.
And you know, we need dictators just shake in their boots when they hear about sanctions. It's like, oh no, not sanctions, yeah. Please, not the sanctions.
Well, I think if there was a solidarity, if there was a concerted effort, I think we could impact the situation. Now, I think
it could impact his populace. It's not going to hurt him any. That's the problem with these dictators; they don't really care about their own people. So. They cut off a lot of supplies. It doesn't really matter to them personally at the end of the day.
No, and I have that feeling, that sense about this man. He is hell-bent on this thing. And we've seen it before in history. Dictators, they will not admit defeat, and they will not quit. They're committed to whatever this treachery is that they are trying to perpetrate. And this goes way, way back, you see. This man, he was part of the KGB, and when the Russian bloc fell, when the wall fell, he resented that deeply. And so...
Yeah, he really wants to return to the old Soviet Union again.
Yeah, he wants reunification. It's a mental issue here. You know, and you're right. He's not doing anything for the people of Russia, certainly, or the people of Ukraine. He's concerned about his own power and his own ideologies. So it's hard to bump somebody off of that kind of a thing. But I think that nations could unify in line and say, you know, for instance, Air France halted all flights to and from Russia. And that's a good thing. They're making a statement. And now other nations... other airlines are beginning to fall in line with that. Delta here in America has withdrawn their code share services in conjunction with the Russian national airline. And that may not stop it, but it will certainly get someone's attention and it'll slow things down. At the very least, you don't want to be supportive of a regime like this. And so you do what you can to pull out any support. Now, there's way more that America could be doing if only we had the leadership with a backbone to do things. But I'm just saying there are things that can be done without even launching a missile. I hope it doesn't come to that. I've heard people talking about that. They're really convinced this is going to lead to a world war. I pray it doesn't.
Well, and the thing is, even if they did launch a missile, there are airstrikes and things we could do without it always meaning that we have to have soldiers entrenched on the ground for the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
This was my criticism of the war in Iraq. I did not have a problem that we went in there to get rid of the WMDs, which they really had, by the way. But
the
problem was, after we went in and got rid of Hussein, we felt we needed to sit around and turn it into a police state. Colin Powell was known for that statement, if you break it, you've bought it. I don't buy that.
Did you guys hear about how Joe Biden was asking China to help out in this situation with Ukraine? I have no clue what he was thinking.
He's asking China to help.
Of course,
I guess we should be surprised, but nothing that idiot does would surprise me.
Of course, China's going to say no. Of course, they're in support of what Russia's doing in the first place. That's not understanding what's going on internationally. That's not, and like you said, that's not having the backbone to help actually support Ukraine if you are going to be on their side and stop whatever Russia's trying to do and. It is malarkey, and I agree with you 100%. This Biden administration has no backbone, and it'll
go down in history as the worst presidential administration we ever had.
I think so. I couldn't agree more. Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
Well, it already has.
Oh yes,
if you look at the numbers, it's pathetic. You know.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama do not look so bad compared to this guy. And they were pretty bad. They were pretty horrible presidents. But compared to Biden, they don't look all that bad.
Yeah, that's a statement right there. That's a statement right there that, you know, they don't look so bad compared to this guy.
Elmer Fudd wouldn't look so bad. Bart Simpson wouldn't look so bad.
Yeah, and we do have a lot to say on this show regularly about the current president, but this is a time of crisis. This is when we need to show the world strength, but we don't. I think it's laughable. I think we don't have respect of the rest of the world. I think he is very much a laughing stock. You know, I mean, he goes over there and he says the same kind of stupid things that he says here when he goes over to Europe. And I just don't think that anybody respects.
Well, this invasion happened precisely because they knew he would react exactly as he did. And to those of you out there that are relieved that at least we don't have a president who tweets anymore, this would not have happened under Donald Trump. Say what you want about him. Say what you want about his tweets. Putin would not have done this if Trump was president.
Yeah, that's the point. You know, we'll back up a few months to the Afghanistan debacle. That kind of sent a message to anyone paying attention that you can mess with the United States and we are not a threat to anybody. It's really kind of a pathetic thing. And because of the Afghanistan thing, I really am against us putting any troops or weapons in that area because we'll just be sacrificing them.
Well, with a commander-in-chief like that, I wouldn't want to have to send our soldiers over there. I would only want them there if we were going to win the war, not be there for 10 years. And again, there's things we could do, like strikes, that would not involve us putting boots on the ground.
Okay, so earlier, I mentioned some of the history, Putin's involvement with the KGB and the falling apart of the Eastern Bloc and his desire to reunite them. But there are two, I think, very practical, very real issues here that motivate him. One is the Ukraine's desire to be a part of NATO and to align itself with other nations. I think that to him that would open the door to contamination of Western thinking, of free thinking. And so that is certainly an issue. The Ukraine is independent and it's not independent. Obviously, what we're seeing is they're under the thumb now, and he's saying, no, you can't have what you want. You can't do these things because they're not in line with me. And I think he would also like to have a Ukrainian president that is more in line with him, or really just a puppet. And so their political movement bothers him. Now, there's a very real, tangible, practical issue here. And I think we see this in most wars, most conflicts, something of this nature. For instance, we seem to be very interested in protecting nations or being involved in their conflicts if there is oil and rubber and resources that we need.
Which we wouldn't need if he hadn't closed down the pipeline.
Yeah, exactly. And there are nations in Africa and all over the world where there are atrocities taking place, and we just look the other way. They don't have anything we need. The Ukraine has been known for decades as the breadbasket of Russia. They grow grain there, and it's kind of like the Central Valley out there where you folks are in California. Though I don't know what's happened there. They probably can't grow anything anymore because of some endangered tsetse fly.
But, yeah, there you go.
But that is a real thing. He wants control of the resources. And that's old stuff. That's why nations have invaded other nations. And there have been wars for centuries because people want the resources. They want what somebody else has. And so I think it's a very real thing. It's not something that's on the front burner. It's not on the headlines. But I think it's a very real issue here that isn't being talked about. It's a non-political thing. It's strictly, we need the bread, Fred.
And one of the ironies, look at how much Biden liked to brag about how he went and threatened the Ukraine when they wouldn't drop that investigation of his son. Like, he was bragging about it, bragging about something that they impeached Trump for doing, but he's the one who actually did it. Yeah, and yet, look at the way he's handling it now when, as president, he's really called to do something. Yeah. It's just interesting where you see the bravado and where you don't see it.
Well, he made his bed, so to speak, and had to sleep in it. And so the shenanigans that have been going on over there and certainly Hunter's indiscretions and all of those things have created a real problem for Biden because he's been in bed with the wrong people. So that is an issue for us. But I think it's also what we've talked about. He hasn't shown any backbone. And as you had alluded to earlier, I'm not sure how much real authority or power he has. He has the title. He's the figurehead. but I don't know that he's pulling many strings. I don't, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but I always come back to this. Even if he was at full mental capacity, he would be giving into and listening to all of his advisors because the man's never had an honest political position in his life. And when he wants to sound really talk and tough, he'll go, for crying out loud, wear your mask. Okay, yeah, Ukraine's been invaded, but he's going to take a stand about that mask. We're not going to force our borders anymore. We're not going to prosecute criminals anymore. We're going to let them out without bail now. They can steal up to $900 worth of goods in a store. But for crying out loud, wear your mask.
You know, the mask thing is disappearing. Finally, people are waking up to the reality. The mask doesn't help. It didn't help. It's never helped. And so about 70% of the country, maybe more by now, they're opening things up. They're dropping the whole mask rule and law. Now, I live in Texas, and so it's almost unheard of here. You can go anywhere, and you just don't see people wearing masks here. But yeah, that was a big thing for him. That's the problem. He'll take a little, some sound bite, some issue, some thing to pick on, and make that his crusade. And a lot of it, I think, is a diversion. I know we're supposed to pray for our leaders, and we're supposed to honor the king, it says. But man, I just don't have a lot of respect for this guy.
Well, I pray that God will take him out. Take him out by changing his heart and making him a new person. That would be preferable. Or take him out some other way. But I don't mind praying that God just takes the guy out.
Well, the problem with that is who's next in line? And who's in line after that? See, that the thing is,
Jim, we can pray that God takes them out too, couldn't we?
Well, you know what?
Just praying. We're not calling for any violent uprising. We're just talking about the way we might pray. That's all.
Well, I know people that do pray that way. I try to keep as big a picture as I can, and I try to keep a view of things considering the sovereignty of God and his involvement in nations all through history.
Well, yeah, I don't mind it being another Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was an evil tyrant. God changed his heart. If he wants to do that with Joe Biden, the better. But I'm just saying if that doesn't happen, then I'll pray that God takes him out some other way. We can't keep living under this guy's leadership.
As I've mentioned many times, I have voted since I turned 18 years old, and that was a long time ago, folks. And I've always voted. I've always been involved. I've been, you know, on your show. I've had radio shows of my own. I've been I podcast stuff. I was a pastor for 40 years. I've had a voice, but I have never publicly endorsed a candidate as such. I've never had a bumper sticker, never had a sign in my yard. And all those years as a pastor, I would never from the pulpit say, vote for this person. Now, I would be vocal about what people stood for, about issues and those kind of things. But I stopped short of publicly endorsing anybody. But I have a friend who's running for representative locally, and I know him well. I've worked with him in other ministries and things. He's very involved in the Justice Foundation, who you know. So I called him, actually called his headquarters, and I said, you know, I want to help somehow. I'm not in your district, so I can't even, if I could put a sign up in my yard, it wouldn't do much good because the people in my neighborhood can't vote on that particular office or district. And he came back and he said, you know what, we're out here at the polls every day for early voting. Would you just come out here and be with us, be with our team, and hold a sign up and just show support? And I said, you bet. And so I've never done that in my life. And I went out there and stood at the polls. It was at a local library where the voting polls were. And I waved a sign for Mark DeRazio, and I talked to people and greeted people. It was great until this past week when it was in the 30s.
It does get cold in Texas this time of the year. I have been out there this time of the year.
Oh, man, it's brutal. And Mark and I were the only ones out there. And he said, I can't believe you're still here. And I said, you know, Mark, one thing about me, when I make a commitment, by golly, I keep it.
Well, with all the global warming, what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, the global warming didn't hit us this week.
Apparently not.
And then so Tuesday night, Tuesday's the election. Tuesday night, they're having a return party, and he asked if I would come to that, and I'm going to go out there and cheer for him. Now, he's one of four people running for this particular position because the man who held that office retired and decided not to run again, and he was a good guy. I voted for him early on when I lived in his district. And so it's one of those things where you got four people who are unknowns who are trying to get a position from a guy who's been kind of a fixture in the area. And so the way it works is he's saying, you know, if we get 50%, then we win. If we don't, then the top two have a runoff. And, you know, they do the same thing where you live. So we're going to go to the party Tuesday night and see how things turn out. But, you know, that's the most I've ever got involved on that level. I hope I don't regret that. I don't believe I wouldn't. And someone said, why would you support this guy and you haven't done this for anybody else? And the answer is simple. I know this man. I know his character. And he will be the last person that will ever have a scandal. It will have some controversy. He's a man of integrity, solid conservative.
And he is going to be a national representative, not a state representative? He would be going to Washington?
State.
Oh, it is state. Okay.
No, it would be a state thing, but it's a start.
Oh, of course.
And it's a place. But, you know, he's solid, pro-life. His campaign things, he talked about pro-life and how important that is. He talked about not having CRT in our school systems, which I think is a really important thing right now. And border security, that's a big thing here in Texas. You know, the federal government just kind of backed off and left us hanging. And so the governor of our state and several with him are doing everything they can to secure our border without the support of the federal government. So anyway, Mark is about these things. And so I said, you know, I can support this guy because I don't think we will ever hear any stories of him misappropriating funds or having an affair or doing any scandalous things. He's that clean. And that's a rare, rare species in the political world.
Well, especially since people can hold somebody over a barrel and then they're subject to all kinds of extortion and their policies could be influenced and things like that.
Yeah. And he's been a successful businessman. You know, no one's going to get in his pockets. He doesn't, you know, I don't think he can be bought. Anyway, so I just wanted to tell you, I did that. That's a first for me at this point in my life. I got involved on that level. Okay. Now, I think we have a little bit of time left here, and I wanted to maybe circle back to our opening topic.
Oh, you're sounding like the press secretary now. You're going to circle back. That's her line. When she can't answer a question, she'll circle back and get back to us.
Which means I'm not going to touch it.
I know that you really will, but you're using her term, so that would make people think you're not going to touch it.
I was just trying to relate, Jen. Now, there are things that people are doing. I don't know how effective these kind of things are. I've seen scenes of bars pouring out their Russian vodka, which is just kind of dumb because they already paid for it. whatever. And then there are stores that are not ordering Russian vodka. Now that might have a little bit of a sting, especially the big box stores, if they just boycott and say we're not going to import your product. So those are things that I think, you know, do what you can. People are doing those kind of things. Personally, I don't own a vodka business or a bar or a liquor store.
Well, before you get rid of the vodka, when I was in high school, it felt like a toothache, but it turned out to be some kind of nerve up in my gums. My parents gave me some vodka, told me to swig it around in my mouth. That thing went away immediately. I'm no drinker, but I wouldn't be throwing out your vodka too soon out there.
Gosh, and I never get toothaches. Okay. now here's a cool thing. This is right here in my hometown of San Antonio, a Ukrainian bakery, the Laika Cheesecake and Espresso Bakery. They announced a few days ago that they were going to give all of their proceeds from Saturday's sales to help people in the Ukraine. They have relatives that are over there. This is just killer. They have family members that are in the middle of this thing. And so they were taking all of their proceeds from yesterday, and sending it for relief to people in the Ukraine. And there were blocks and blocks of people. The line went all the way down the street. People were there all day long. They were solidly busy selling. And then they also had a donation bucket for people that didn't want to buy anything. And they raised tens of thousands of dollars. Now, I think that's a very creative and very cool thing. Now, they certainly had something at stake. They have family members that are in the middle of this war. But I thought, that's a great thing that they could do that. And I was just very proud. I didn't hear about it until the end of the day. I would have gone down there and got in line.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.